Welcome to Centered, the podcast that celebrates the journey of faith-filled parents. I'm Andrea Camacho, a homeschool mom, widow, and the owner of the Center School of Dance right here in Cookeville, Tennessee. In this podcast, we explore the beautiful journey of intentional parenting where faith, love, and dedication intersect. Whether you're seeking to support your child in their passions and activities, help them foster friendships, or instill godly values within your home, you're in the right place. Together, let's navigate the beautiful chaos of parenthood and cultivate a home centered on faith, love, and purpose. Okay, well, we are back for episode 2, and today I'm being joined with Shirley Bailey. And Shirley has been a longtime family at the studio, but we've also connected in similar parenting circles with Classical Conversations and New Colossus. That's something that your husband heads up. Is he the headmaster,
yes.
director? How do you say yes. that? Over at New Colossus. And so we've just on our journey have had so many just empowering conversations with you. I feel like you're a parent that inspires me on my parenting journey. So I definitely just wanted to have you on to kind of pick your brain and connect. And one of the things I feel like I really connect with you over is that intentional parenting. In some of our discussions, you know, I've been in a season in my life where we've gone through some hardship. My husband passed away 2 years ago, and I feel like we have a choice in parenting to either be just responsive and reactive or to really be intentional. And that intentional journey just takes time. It takes more effort. It takes more energy. So as I'm coming out of just survival mode, some of the conversations I've had with you have just been so helpful of like, okay, I can do this. Like, yes, it's harder sometimes to be that intentional parent and to say, I really want to do what's right for my kids, but in the end, so worth it. So I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm excited about this conversation and just to hear more about your story and your family and what motivates you. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
I'm a mom of 3 girls, and so I have a very widespread age gap in my kids. Olivia, who's 27, and then Scarlett, who's 13, and Harper, who is 8. So I became a mom as a teenager, you know, at 18 years old. And most people don't have kids 19 years apart, but I do. And so it just works for us. It really does. So I have the privilege of parenting in different generations, I guess, and seeing God's faithfulness through my oldest daughter. So as I parent my younger 2, I don't parent so much out of, I think our first child, we parent some out of fear because we don't know what to expect. But I have those altars of faithfulness of the Lord that I can go back to that I've saw in Olivia that I know is the same God that's going to be that for my other 2. From the first time that I held Olivia, I knew motherhood was a gift from God. I didn't know him that well, but I knew that she was a gift from God. And I've always loved being a mom. Yeah,
and that's so powerful because you're so young too.
Yes.
So I'm sure so scared. But just to know right from the beginning that this is such a blessing.
Yes. Yes. I've always loved being a mom. Really, right, not too long after I had her, within 2 years, I see how the enemy tries to come in and steal motherhood and still also just the identity and plan for the kids if you're not careful to nurture that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the Lord and know how to nurture that with her. But when I went to Teen Challenge, you know, when she was 7, I came back and God just restored and redeemed my life. And so from that point on, I think it's when I became an intentional parent. Didn't really know what that looked like, didn't know what godly parents look like, but I knew what it didn't look like. And so I just tried to do the opposite.
Right. That's amazing. And what a testimony for her. Now, in her journey, does she remember that? Does she remember like version A mom, version B mom? Like this was transformational for us?
Very clearly. Yes, okay. Very clearly. And honestly, I think knowing both of those things is what pushed her and her husband into doing foster care. And so both of them, you know, just have a heart to rescue and advocate for kids who don't have that, and just to give a Christian godly home. And so it'll actually be this week, this Friday, we get to adopt, you know.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's amazing.
Two granddaughters.
So now you're a grandmother.
Yes, I am.
And a parent of an 8-year-old.
Yes, that's right. I know. So they're aunts. They're going to make little signs about, today I'm an aunt. So yeah, it's sweet.
That's amazing. And I know some of what we've talked about. So there's just so many types of parents out there. Right now I'm a solo parent, which you were for a little bit. You were a single mom. Do you have any advice for other single moms or other young moms out there?
Absolutely. You know, single parenthood is, you can't really understand it until you go through it, because it is so hard. And when I say hard, I mean emotionally hard. You're carrying the weight, emotional weight, of the mother and the father. And so when one of those are absent, it's heavy. You don't have that person at night to talk with. You don't have that, you know, you'll have your mom or your sister or a friend, but it's different, but it's doable. So what I did is I truly clung to the word of God that said, he is my husband. And I just knew that even though in the natural, in this world, I had lack, in the spirit, by his word, I had no lack. And so I held God to his word. And his word also says, you're a father to the fatherless. And, you know, Olivia didn't have a present dad in her life. And so I held God to his word. Mm-hmm. And he was faithful and true to that. And it didn't always look like what I thought it would, but it always was good.
And I think that not looking like what we think it should has been one of the biggest things for me. And I will even say, I've only been, you know, a widow and solo parent for 2 years now, but I can say we have never lacked for anything. The Lord has been faithful. And even in moments where I'm like, goodness, I wish he had a dad here, there have been other people that have stepped in. If I've prayed about it, it's been dads of friends, it's been family members that have stepped in. And so I can truly say, I always tell people, like, it's true. You hear all of this, that he draws close to the brokenhearted, that he is a husband, that he can be a father to the fatherless. But then you live it out in reality when you really don't have anything. You know, you really are empty handed and there's nothing you can do but cry out to the Lord, and you just see his faithfulness in a whole new way. So I totally identify with you there. And so then you kind of have this blended family as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Like, blended family, what was the parenting journey like, you know, different with your second two?
So blended families are equally as hard as single moms. they really are. I don't feel like people are prepared enough, especially in the church, for what that looks like. I know Dan and I wasn't. Olivia was 13 when we got married. And so we thought, oh, we love the Lord. You know, this is awesome. This is going to be great. I'm going to step in. It looked very different for her. She felt like, I think, he was taking her mom, mm-hmm. and that was very hard, and she didn't know how to verbally express that. And, you know, him and I, we didn't really know how to parent through that, but we did find some resources. There's the Smart Step Family with, I think it's Ron Dahl, very, very good about blended families. And when we went to that conference, it helped Dan and I both tremendously. The second thing that really helped us was just learning about adverse childhood experiences and ACE scores. That alone, and he learned that through the school system, but that alone helped him identify with Olivia and I more. And so now with our other two girls, when we had Scarlett just the first year we were married. So, you know, very quickly we knew we wanted to have more kids. And so she didn't ever know that Dan wasn't her dad until she was almost 7 years old. So, you know, even though Olivia always called him Dan, she never really recognized. And so it just, you know, blended families are hard. It takes about 5 years to get in a good groove. So give yourself lots and lots of grace, everyone, and know that you're in a kind of like a pressure cooker for about 5 years, but it will settle and then you will blend and it will be okay.
Yeah. And I think you would share that with me, that 5 to 7 years, which is just like, seems like such a long time. But even when we're thinking about parenting, there are just probably so many other things that take about that amount of time to get into a groove with, or that you're committing to when you become a parent. So I think we can get so into the here and now, but to really go, okay, this might take time to settle down. Like, it's okay to go through the hard for a little bit, because the long-term goal of the rest of our lives, being able to work this out, is important. So
I think having anytime you want to be an intentional parent, you need to look at the future. You need to have wisdom and parent backwards. You know, what is your end goal for your child? And certainly I think any parent would say, you know, they want their children to be well-rounded, independent, you know, ready for the world. Everyone's goals might be somewhat different. I know for our family, I want my kids to love the Lord and follow God wherever that leads them. And I want them to have the skills when they leave our home to make decisions. And so if they fail within the home, I want them to do that. I want to give them freedom to make those, wrestle with those hard things in the home. That way, when they're ready to go, they're just ready to follow the Lord wherever that leads.
I love that. And I love that parenting backwards, that think far into the future, which is that difference between what I feel like I'm in sometimes in survival mode, which is we're just reacting to the day to day of how do we survive today? And then being able to get yourself out of it to look ahead and say, how do I parent backwards and intentionally plan for the life I want my child to have, which is so important, which with those Christian values brings us to the center. Like, you've been a longtime family at the center. And one of the things I feel so blessed with being at the center for so long is these amazing families that connect, that seem to be so like-minded and have incredible values. And of course, I was just a single 24-year-old when I started the studio. So being kind of a young parent and able to watch the people around me has been so inspiring. But what for you has been that connection? Like, do you find like-minded parenting there? Are there principles that your daughters are getting at the center that kind of fall in line with that intentional parenting for you?
The center has been life-giving for us. I really can't say enough about how it's an extension of our home. In every single season at the center, because Scarlett's been dancing there, I think, for 5 or 6 or 7 years. I can't remember. And Harper's almost at 5 years. And so in the beginning, she was just this little 7-year-old. But we were homeschooling at the time. And so every morning, you know, we would have a time of worship. And one thing that I know that was instilled at the center was that her body is made for worship. And so at 7 years old, we would have our worship time in the morning. She would just dance unto the Lord, and then Harper would just follow after her. And it was the sweetest thing. I have all the videos, and I loved it. And so even today, fast forward for how long we've been there, and I'll just share a little something if it's okay. This is just the other day, you know, that Scarlett was sharing with me, and she was saying that the sun was going down. She said, "Mom, the sun was setting today, and it was so beautiful and peaceful." She said, "I felt the presence of the Lord so strong that I just danced and worshiped until it was dark. Then when I came inside, I couldn't even speak because all the humans fell so short. It was like 20 minutes before I could have conversation."
Wow, that is beautiful.
That is from the center and our home, but a blend of the two. And that's why I say the center is really like an extension of our home. It's brought all of us to a place where we can worship abandonedly. And then, of course, we love your leadership. I mean, we just love the leadership of the center, the teachers, and all the things that it has poured into our family.
Oh, thank you so much. And that is so beautiful. And I love that wording, an extension of the home, because my heart has just been to partner with parents for so long and to not be a place they're at instead of home, but to be that extension of the home and to have a place where, okay, this is everything mom and dad is telling me, but I actually see that it holds up out here in the real world with peers, with other leaders. And, you know, one thing we always talk about at the center is in the dance world, there's so much over-sexualization of young girls and dancers. And so just on the last episode, I was talking about how it's so important to teach young girls that their bodies can be used for so much more. So I love hearing you say that our bodies, at a young age, they're learning that our bodies can actually be used as an expression of what's in our heart, as a form of worship, and just what a countercultural view that is for them to learn at a young age. Well, tell us some about your steps you've taken to be an intentional parent. So is that maybe education? I know you've done a couple different forms of education. And any other activities that you do specifically to say, this is how I am instilling the values as a backwards parent?
So one thing with intentional parenting certainly has been Christian education. Even with Olivia, so when I married Dan, it's because I had sent her to Highland Rim as a single mom. And she was going into the seventh grade and it was taking every dime I had to pay this tuition. But I just knew that I wanted her to have a Christian influence in her education. So that was very important to me. She did not end up graduating there, which was fine. I feel like whatever season any parent is in, you know, there's no shaming. You have to do what's right for you in that season, education-wise. And so we've done it all. We've done Christian education, we've done homeschool, we've done public education, and then now we are at a hybrid at New Colossus where they're on campus 2 days a week and then homeschool the rest, which has been a good fit because, of course, you know, Dan, he's the headmaster and started the school, so it just fits. Yes. For our family. So with that, certainly has been intentional. And then the other thing I would say is rules without relationship always equal rebellion. And so...
Oh, that's important. Can you say that again?
Yes. Rules without relationship equal rebellion. And I learned that with Olivia because I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. So I struggle with balance. I can be all in or like retreat to my 9. And so the problem with that is sometimes I can be very sharp. And I've learned that my tone and my facial expression and how I say things is just as important as what I'm saying. And I've learned that the wrong way because I did it wrong, but I've learned to be better. And I think, you know, parents, we're not perfect. We're not going to get it right. We need to give ourselves so much grace, but we need to never stop trying. And so what I try to do is think, am I reflecting God's character to my child? And am I pointing them to the Word of God? Am I pointing them to Christ? And then also giving them the tools to work out conflict. I'm not their savior. I'm not going to be there. I don't have all the answers. And at certain ages, you let them start figuring those things out and just be there as a support. And so that's been another thing, you know, with being intentional with our parenting. And then, of course, you know, when you're married, always be on the same page as your spouse. You know, whether you agree or don't agree, it's just, and a lot of times you're very different. My husband and I are very different, but very important to be on the same page. And so that's just, you know, a few ways that we do.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that almost co-parenting, which you have to look at it, like I know couples that are separated that do an amazing job of co-parenting, but they put so much energy into that, where it's almost shifted my mindset of like, you really do have a marriage and a romantic relationship, and then you have a co-parenting relationship in the realm of a marriage that both still have to be fostered and they're both separate.
Yes.
Things. So to get on that same page with, you know, your spouse as a co-parent is so important as well. Well, do you have any resources, books, or anything like that that have been significant for you that could be helpful for others?
One podcast I always listen to is Raising Boys, Raising Girls. It's such a good podcast. It blends a Christian foundation along with just psychology, and it's really, really good in understanding on your kids in every age. And then the Intentional Parenting podcast, love that. It's so good. My daughter goes to the Belonging currently, and there's Being Famous at Home. We love them. They go to they go there. So we listen to that. And then outside of that, you know, just the Word and connecting with like-minded parents, you know, that's one of the biggest things. We need community, just like our kids do. We work really hard at giving them friends who are like-minded, but sometimes we leave ourselves out. So I think that's very important.
Yes, so important too. Well, thank you so much for your time today. This has been beautiful. I just love hearing your heart and your story and seeing the Lord's faithfulness. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your story with us. And now if people want to connect with you, they can just find you on social media.
Yes, Shirley just Bailey. Find me on Facebook or, you know, something like that. That's about it. I don't really have any kind of more than that, but I do love to connect. I love people. So yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Our dance parent tip of the week is to order extra tights now. Whether you're a dancer at the center or any other studio in town, it's about concert season and you need tights. You're going to need multiple pairs of tights. So get on there, order them now, make sure you know what colors you need. And our dancer fact of the week, we are talking about stage direction again because dancers everywhere are getting ready to take the stage. And last week we learned about upstage and downstage. This week is stage right and stage left. So if you're facing the audience, your performer on stage, stage right is towards the dancer's right hand and stage left would be towards your left hand. So when you hear someone say, move over to stage right, or when we're moving into the theater, we'll say we put that box over on stage left. Well, now you know. Face the audience. Stage right will be towards your right hand, and stage left will be towards your left hand. Bringing in my son right now for Kids Connection. You ready?
Hey guys, it's Aaron, and I have a joke for you today. How many dance teachers does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. Tell me.
5, 6, 7, 8.
My goodness, because we can always count to 8. Okay, we had a riddle last week. I don't know if you remember. It was, what has hands and a face but can't hold anything or smile? And the answer is a clock. So we have a new riddle this week. Aaron, what's the new riddle?
If you don't keep me, I'll break. What am I?
If you don't keep me, I'll break. What am I? So tune into the next episode to get the answer for that one. And finally, we have our family challenge. Last week, we had you have a dance party. This time is an exercise that will be a fun competition with everyone in the family. This is actually an exercise our dancers have to do before they go on to point. And it's something that anyone can do. So it's a single leg balance. You stand on one leg with your other foot up. You close your eyes and you just see how long you can balance, and you've got to time everyone. Now, to get on to point, our dancers have to be able to do this without falling over for 10 seconds. So that's your goal. However, the physical therapists that work with Nashville Ballet require their dancers to do it for 30 seconds with their eyes closed. So that would be their real goal. So try your single leg balance, have a little competition, see who can hold it the longest. Can you get to 10 seconds and can anyone get to 30?
Yeah.
If you're interested in getting your child in a dance class, we are currently enrolling for our summer camps and intensives, as well as the school year classes. Our school year classes begin in August and run through May with a big performance on stage at CPAC at the end of the school year. So if you'd like to enroll in classes, head to thecenterdance.com where you can see all of our offerings for ages 2 and up.